This podcast is brought to you by the Premier Surgical Office-Based Surgery Center on Paper Mill Drive in Knoxville. Excellent care designed for patient comfort and convenience.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
On a recent interview, ESPN's Campus Conversation, they talked to Stanford's head coach, David Shaw. And David Shaw seems like a straightforward, no-nonsense type of guy, straightforward type of guy, that don't play little mind games here and there, but had some comments that very interesting. I'll just say that. He was asked about Keller Christ. And he says, in a nutshell, for me, I truly believe if a young man is at your program for 4 years and he graduates, they should be able to make the best decision for them, whether it's academically or purely sports-based. I'm not going to put any judgments on anyone, but for a guy like Keller, I told him flat out, he's too talented to be a backup for me, that he can find a place to be a starting quarterback in college football. He showed flashes of brilliance. The Oregon game this past year, you could not play any quarterback better than he did in that game. Just outstanding. Had some great, had some games that were not so good. Had some that were really good. He got injured. A young quarterback got out there and gave us a better chance to win. It's hard for me to come to that conclusion, but that's the conclusion that we've had to come to. To try to talk to him into staying as a fifth-year senior just to be a backup for us, you just can't do that. That's not for you or for your betterment. If you can go to a place and find a place to play, play up to his ability, this guy is a draft pick in the top half of the draft. This is on Saturday Down South. Touchdown Turnover. David Shaw is trying to manipulate the Tennessee quarterback battle with his comments. David Shaw is trying to manipulate the Tennessee quarterback battle with these comments about Keller Christ.
I say turnover. I just think David Shaw is being honest about Keller Christ. I don't know why David Shaw would try to manipulate. I know, obviously, him and Keller, I'd assume, based off these comments, that they probably have a pretty nice relationship. But I don't know why David Shaw would try to manipulate Tennessee's quarterback competition. If anything, I think he's just going out on a limb for him and being nice. And if he's such a good quarterback and capable of starting somewhere, why is he not starting at your own school? And I get it that you have KJ Costello. He's a pretty good quarterback, but I may be wrong here. Forgive me for not being the best at my Stanford knowledge, but I don't recall KJ Costello being leaps and bounds better than Keller Christ. So I don't think David Shaw is being manipulated. And I know that in the Saturday Down South article, it says that it was in a recent interview with Ivan Manziel on the ESPN Campus Conversation podcast. I'd like to know what the question was. Was he asked directly about, hey, do you think Keller should be starting at Tennessee or something along those lines? I would love to know the context of where this quote came from. What was the exact question? But I don't think he's manipulating. David Shaw is one of the best coaches in terms of human beings in college football. With everything you have going on in the Big Ten and throughout the country, David Shaw is one of the bright spots in terms of people. Our college football needs more people like David Shaw. So I'd be surprised if he pulled something like this to try and manipulate a quarterback competition across the country.
Yeah, it's a turnover for me. I don't think he's trying to manipulate the quarterback competition, but he's certainly stumping for a guy that it seems like he likes.
He's putting pressure on Jamie Pruitt.
Some sense. It's a very weird quote when I look at it, exactly like Ben said, if he's that good, why isn't he your starting quarterback? If he's a top part of the NFL draft kind of guy, he would be your starting quarterback. But KJ Costello, like, as you know, as early as whenever David Shaw had this conversation with him, he doesn't say he knew KJ Costello was going to start over Keller Chris. And so he told him to find somewhere else to play. It's a kind of strange quote, but at the same time, I think he probably just got asked about it and gave his honest answer. And so I don't think it was intentional. I'll put it that way. Does it kind of put pressure on Jeremy Pruitt? Yeah, a little bit. I would say it's a big-time coach, a coach who's more big-time than Jeremy Pruitt, a coach that's won at a high level for years now, saying really good things about a quarterback on Jeremy Pruitt's team. But should this weigh into Jeremy Pruitt's decision? No. No, it should not. And I don't think David Shaw intended it to.
The intent is, I think, the question here. Coaches are very smart when they talk to the media. Very smart. David Shaw is smart. He went to Stanford. He's smart. He's a smart fella. Did he manipulate? Did he try to manipulate the quarterback battle consciously? Maybe not. I'll say turnover. But did he do it with these comments? Yeah. Well, I think he did. I think he went overboard in saying that he believes this guy is a draft pick in the top half of the draft, but he's not good enough to play for you. And I don't want any of these comments to think it's a slight to Keller Chris, because it's not. The Stanford quarterbacks, except for Andrew Luck, they're not your prototypical NFL quarterbacks. Because in David Shaw's system, you don't have to be a vertical quarterback. You don't have to make the long throws from one hash to the opposite hash running a comeback. The Stanford system is all about having two tight ends, about having a running game and throwing in between the hash marks and dinking and dunking. That is the Stanford's offense. That's not what we're seeing at the pro level. We're not seeing Stanford quarterbacks go to the league and have a chance to play at a high level, except for Andrew Luck. He's special. Why are you going to put all that energy out there to make it seem like Jeremy Pruitt has to play a guy that you wouldn't play? And then at the bottom of the article, the author says that's a bold take from Shaw, but also interesting. If Chris can quickly acclimate himself to Tennessee's offense, if Shaw's being honest in his assessment of quarterback, it's tough to see Jared Guantano beating out former.
That's a really bad take.
Because what?
That's a comment. I can understand somebody making that comment before fall camp, before either two of the quarterbacks take the field, but Jared Guantano has been
a
couple steps ahead.
If Shaw's being honest, it's tough to see Jared Guantano beating out former Stanford signal caller. What? What?
It was
Stanford system. Stanford system is a dink and dunk system. Mm-hmm. This is not a dink and dunk system.
Yeah, Tennessee doesn't have Bryce Love to rely on.
So Shaw could be 100% honest and true, and he still not be the best option for Tennessee's offense.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Charlie.
It was interesting. Yesterday, I tweeted out a quote from Austin Price that he said on the show. He said, I would be shocked if Jared Guantano is not the quarterback for Tennessee. I had, it might have been 3 or 4 people that replied to it and said, well, you're going to be shocked then. You're going to be shocked.
I'm like, yeah.
Have you watched the tape? Have you looked? I would be shocked. As of right now,
yeah.
Maybe Chris turns a corner for the rest of fall camp. Maybe he becomes that guy. But at this moment, I don't see it. But no. Who knows? I'm not a coach on Tennessee football team.
Folks have not seen Keller Chris throw the ball in practice one time. But
no. I think, not necessarily manipulative, but it puts a ton of pressure on Jeremy Pruitt, because
Shaw's is accomplished. He's an accomplished coach. He's one of the top 10 coaches.
Exactly. And if Jared Guantano, assuming Guantano starts against West Virginia, if he comes out and Nathan Peterman's against West Virginia, there will be fans that point back to what David Shaw said.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a lot of unfair pressure.
Yeah, because again, Shaw is proven. He's a top 10 coach in college football, in my opinion. He is. He's good.
Totally.
But he has a system that works for him, and it doesn't work for everybody. Everybody can't do it. Okay. We'll get back to David Shaw's comments, but let's go to the phone. Let's get I think Trevor.
We've got Josh.
Josh, I'm sorry. Josh, good morning.
Hey, Jason, how's it going, man?
Man, great. How are you doing, Josh?
Hey, doing good. Man, I'm a huge Braves fan. I drive a truck for a living. I listen to the Braves or watch the Braves every day, man. And I'm really disappointed in Snicker for not doing anything last night, man. After that guy clearly threw it, Acuña, in the – you know, on the first pitch, did not ear hole Anderson or hit Realmuto in the back. I mean, you have to, you know, you can't let that go. And I actually think he's the one got punked last night, not the Marlins pitcher. He's going to see more pitches inside now because I think other teams are going to say, well, they're, you know, they're not going to do anything to protect their own players, so fine. I'm not going to pitch Acuña inside.
The thing
really, really disappointed.
That's interesting.
The thing that I would say about that though is that was not a Marlins decision. That was a Urania decision. The Marlins clubhouse is pissed off at their own starting pitcher because they thought of how Bush League that was. So
yeah, I think to do with
nothing to do with what.
And the next time it happens, they have to know that the Braves pitchers are going to put one in their ear hole. But I mean, if they don't know that, if they don't know the Braves are going to protect their own players, what keeps the next guy from acting on his own?
But how are the
for sure?
Go ahead.
That his teammate has a risk of getting injured, just like Acuña got injured. He's going to think twice before. Doing that.
How are the Braves not protecting their players when Enciarte, a role player at this point, is the first one out on the field trying to get into a fight with the pitcher? And
no, the pitcher has to respond, man. I mean, it's a complete you know, these geeks have destroyed the game. All I heard last night on Twitter was Major League Baseball has to do something. Major League Baseball has to do something. Major League Baseball's handled this on the field for it's the inception of the game. I mean, it's handled on the field. Major League Baseball shouldn't have to do anything. The players should handle it, like it's always been done. You think Joe DiMaggio or Ted Williams never took one in the elbow? Or Pete Rose or Dave Justice or Derek Jeter or whoever? It should have been handled on the field. And that's why I'm so disappointed in Snitker. He had a chance last night to get this team fired up and to show that there's fight. But he done just the opposite. He punked out. He didn't retaliate. He let this go, and it's unacceptable. And I think we're going to see the consequences of it as this playoff run plays out because you have to fight back.
Yeah.
You can't lay down and take that.
Yeah.
Wrong move.
I appreciate the phone call, Josh. You know, thanks so much. It should have been a brawl yesterday.
It should have been.
I mean, if you throwing in my guy like that, and it shouldn't be I'm walking out to the mound because when you walk out there, of course someone's gonna stop you and hold you back. Like they should have ran out there and put their hands on that pitcher for going after their guy like that. And you can't really blame the Marlins players because this guy. Urania, he went rogue.
Which is why
he went rogue. So
which is why yeah. I'm okay with the Braves not retaliating because at that point you don't accomplish anything.
Yeah, don't retaliate on an innocent Marlin.
Correct.
When you see Urania again, you check him. I mean, why would you throw at another Marlins player
when he went rogue?
When he doesn't agree with what happened from his own play. I just think, you know, it happened with Ted Williams and Babe Ruth. And I mean, it's 2018, and Major League Baseball should absolutely get involved, and it should absolutely suspend folks. That, you know, just because it it was okay 50 years ago doesn't mean it's okay now. Just because it was okay to do steroids 50 years ago doesn't mean it's okay now. People get suspended now. You get a whole game. You get 50 games. And so that should be the case now. Major League Baseball should get involved. They should suspend this pitcher for as long as they can to send a message, because we're talking about someone's livelihood. We're talking about someone's life, and throwing a 97-mile-per-hour fastball inside and it hits somebody in the head or somewhere. I mean, it can cause damage. And so I do agree a little bit with the call. I thought the Braves teammate should have came out there and put those hands on the pitcher.
See, I think I agree with Trevor on the text box here. He says Braves are in the middle of the playoff race. I mean, I believe they're first in their division.
They are two games up on the Phillies right now.
And he said you shouldn't stoop to the Marlins level because you don't want any of your players to get ejected when every single game matters.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
That's a good point, too.
And I don't understand the bashing of the Braves manager, Snicker, because he was on the – at first, the umpires weren't even going to throw Urania out of the game, and Snicker went out there and lit into them, standing up for his player. And after that, the Braves did respond. Dansby Swanson hits a two-run home run to give the Braves the lead, and you could tell if you were watching the game last night, that dugout and those players were fired up and playing with a purpose. And that all started because, one, they were backing their teammate, and two, because the manager went out there and took up for his own. And after the game, he said, "He's my kid. I'm going to take up for him." So I don't understand the bashing of the manager, because I thought Snicker handled it perfectly last night.
They let the play on the field talk, and to me, that's enough, but I'm not a Braves fan, so I don't know how I'd feel if this was the Rangers.
When I first saw Acuña get hit, I was like, okay, the Braves have to retaliate. And granted, the Marlins don't really have a star player to hit right now. I guess if you're the Braves, you'd hit Starlin Castro.
Marlins stink.
The Marlins are awful, but again, like, you could tell by the Marlins players, like, the expressions on their face, like, they were pissed off that he threw at Acuña. So why are you going to take it out on the Marlins when the pitcher went rogue?
I'll give you an example, then we go to the phones. That would be like the Georgia player hitting Shai Tuttle. There, I want to say it was in 2015 at home. And that was a dirty play. And that would be like Georgia's players being mad at that, at their own for doing that play, for that play against Shai Tuttle. At that point, yes, Butch Jones should have absolutely lost it on the sideline, because that is a dirty play. That hurt Shai Tuttle for the season. But I don't think a Tennessee player should just go randomly hit some Georgia player and do the same thing, because what if that Georgia player didn't agree with the dirty hit? What if he's on the side of the Tennessee player? That's my thing. It's just, there's just better ways to handle it, is all I'm saying. I would hate to be on the receiving end of a dirty play because my dumb teammate did it to someone else, and I don't even agree with my teammate. So I like Josh's fired up, though.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Don't get road rage or anything, Josh. I know you're fired up and you're driving. Don't get road rage, man. Just come on. Calm down. Calm down, Josh. All right, who we got there on the – Don. We got Don. Don, good morning.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Don. How you doing, man?
Doing all right.
Good.
Hey, I wanted to comment about what y'all were talking about with Shaw and then also on Acuña.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that very thing that, you know, Shaw said – way back in the spring,
mm-hmm.
before he ever got here,
mm-hmm.
And everything. So I think he was just asked a question and just answered it. I really don't think he was, like, just advocating. Pressure's kind of on Chris. He's already been named to the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award and all that list. So I really don't see, unless something dramatically changes, I don't see Josh Dobbs, Garantano not being the starter. But, you know, it's all has to do with these scrimmages and how people look under pressure. I guess the biggest negative, I guess, I've heard about JG is, like, another day in the scrimmage reports was, you know, he's holding on the ball too long again and getting sacked as a result. You heard that in particular?
I heard, you know, he made a mistake. I didn't hear anything about holding on to the ball too much. I know he had a turnover, but he had, you know, multiple explosive plays, and he was efficient with the football. I thought he outplayed Keller again in the scrimmage. Keller had his probably best scrimmage, did a good job. But, you know, Jared is just outperforming Keller from everything that I've seen and heard. But I think both quarterbacks have a lot of pressure for different reasons, Don. I think for Keller, this is his last year playing college football. So there's pressure for him to play because it's it after this season. And then for Jared, there's pressure because you are the top-rated quarterback coming out of high school. You are the guy coming out of high school. And there's a lot of hype surrounding him. And so there's pressure on him to be the guy. I mean, there's no Josh Dobbs here. There's no you know, Dorminey who's here before you. So you can kind of validate and make, you know, make a case of why those guys beat Jared out. There's no reason why a grad transfer who just got here during the summer should beat you out if you are Jared Guantano. So I think there's pressure on both guys to go out there and start for different reasons and play for different reasons.
Well, now, when you don't see the practices and get a report, people, they hang on to every little word. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you took everything he said, then probably McBride be starting.
Exactly.
Big compliment.
Or JT Stroud, because Pruitt said he had the best arm. Which right. I would put him and Garantano kind of above everybody else as far as arms. I would want to see them in a throw off to see that, because I think Jared has a great arm too.
Yeah. Real quick on the Acuna thing. I was working and didn't get in, and I noticed he wasn't coming up to bat in front of Albies, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then finally they showed the replay. I do believe that was totally on that pitcher, who, by the way, I don't know if y'all watched the interview when he was trying to convince people that it wasn't intentional. But the reaction from the team, talking about the Marlins, and even the catcher, who's normally the first guy that's going to run and protect his pitcher, expecting, you know, that the batter's going to charge the mound that's there, he didn't make a move. Nobody really made a move until some of the Braves players came on the field. And so I truly believe that that was all on that pitcher. But I was watching Fox Sports that night, just their general baseball coverage, and they were talking. I couldn't believe it. The whole panel up there was taken up for the pitcher. They said, oh, he's wild. He's hit 10 people this year, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's one thing to brush a guy back, put one under his chin, one under. But, I mean, I have a hard time believing that pitch and where it went was designed to do anything but make sure he didn't hit a home run. And the other thing is that you know, they said, and you guys might have covered this and I might have missed it, that was the hardest, the fastest pitch that pitcher threw all year.
The fastest pitch ever thrown by that pitcher to open a game, 97.5 miles per hour.
That's right to the elbow.
Yeah, that's according to ESPN stats and information. It was his fastest pitch ever thrown to open a game. So I'm glad that I didn't play baseball, and thanks for the phone call. Really appreciate it, Don, because that type of play would have me looking for you outside of the game. Remember when Carmelo Anthony got into it with the player because this player had said something about his wife? That was Kevin Garnett. Said something about his wife, and Carmelo was waiting for Kevin Garnett outside the locker room. That's what I would probably do if I was this Braves player, Acuna. I would try to fight you outside the game. I really would.
After his elbow gets to feeling better, of course.
I would hit you with my left hand. Oh, I would have to pick up a chair like WWE or something.
Take the bat to him?
And maybe that's probably why I play football, so I can exert my
You would have been a Yasiel Puig type, just a fiery, angry baseball player all the time.
Man, you throwing a 97 miles.
I mean, it was
fastball, hit me in my elbow.
It was 100% intentional. And the Braves and the Marlins play each other next week. And as of today, Urania is lined up
to start against the Braves next week, and I'm sure he will be suspended for that game. I'd be absolutely shocked if he's not. But if he's pitching for whatever reason that game, he needs to be plunked.
Well, you're telling me you want to fight me if you do something like that.
Yeah.
Like you're telling me, hey, I want to fight you. I'm going to throw this 97 miles per hour fastball. It's going to hit your elbow. I want to fight you. That's what I'm getting. So yeah. I'm just going to pick up what you're throwing down, man. You want to throw hands? Let's do it.
See,
it don't have to be inside the game. We can meet down at the corner if you want to do this down by the liquor store. We can go. I'm just saying.
See, Tennessee Levi says every team in every sport should have an enforcer, like in hockey. And see, Swain, if you play baseball, you could have been the enforcer. It's not on the field. You know, I'll meet you in the parking lot after. But you could have been the enforcer. Hey
man, that's why you'd be the Yasiel Puig.
I don't need to play, man. Baseball contracts, go ahead and give me my, you know, $8 million guaranteed. That's chump change in baseball. Let me stand in the dugout eating sunflower seeds. I'll take the ranch.
You'd be dipping.
No, I ain't going to be dipping.
You're the bouncer.
I'll be eating sunflower seeds. I would have a whole stack of sunflower seeds on the ground right next to me because I'll be doing that the whole game.
You can put Swain out next to the bullpen, and when the relief pitcher's coming in, Swain just walks out there with his arms crossed.
I'll do that, man.
Mean mugging.
I'll be the bouncer. Other duck out. That could be me. But anyways, let's go to the phones and then let's take a break.
We got Evan.
Evan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Evan.
Hey, I was doing good this morning until I started listening and I got fired up all over again. I tell you, I am livid. The Marlins better be thankful that Braves don't have some Pedro Martinez on the team that start taking people out when they come back next week. But I just can't believe watching it again. Like, there's no other sports that tolerates this. Nope. And this is a football player that just went after a quarterback with a direct blatant hit. He'd be suspended. It's disgusting. And frankly, I don't know. Maybe Ferrer was distracted planning the team's next boat trip or something. But you better be ready for next week. All right, go have a good day.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I mean, in football, if there's a dirty hit against the quarterback, the offensive lineman jump in quick, fast, in a hurry.
Like, watch Taylor Lewan if a defensive lineman or a linebacker undercuts Marcus Mariota this season. Watch Ramon Foster if somebody undercuts Ben Roethlisberger this season.
Yes. They regulate.
Mm-hmm. Marquise Pouncey?
Yes.
You going to mess with Marquise Pouncey?
They regulate the quickest. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't play that,
now,
man.
I will say, in my opinion, it is a little premature to knock Major League Baseball for allowing this, quote-unquote. It just happened last night. I guarantee you by noon, 1 or 2 o'clock today, Urania will be suspended.
Yeah.
I just said it a moment ago. I would be shocked if he's not suspended 20, 30 games.
But here's the thing. Baseball needs drama like this. Because baseball has fallen behind.
But here's the thing. Baseball does have drama. Just nobody cares about it until it happens to their own team. Because Tuesday night, the Dodgers and Giants got into a big brawl.
True.
And barely anybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Now, everybody out west was talking about it because the Dodgers and Giants hate each other. But this one, we're hearing more about it because it hits close to home. A lot of our listeners are Braves fans.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't get, like a Draymond Green.
You don't get the...
You know, you don't have that guy that...
The Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, where you come into a game and you're like, that dude's been...
He just talked.
That dude's been John.
But he's got the drama.
Like, that doesn't happen in the MLB. It needs to...
Yes, sass.
Yeah. Jalen Ramsey certainly has sass.
He definitely sass.
Hey, Jalen Ramsey, he knows who's boss. He said Marcus Mariota's good because he has a stout 1-3 record against Marcus Mariota so far in his career.
He got
stiff-armed into next week during the playoffs by Mariota.
Think about his comments. He poo-pooed on Ben Roethlisberger and didn't do it to Mariota because he plays Mariota twice in the season. He ain't scared of Mariota. If anything, Ben deserves way more respect than Marcus Mariota coming from Jalen Ramsey.
He's
a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Not after that playoff game, he doesn't.
He's a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Two through five picks against him.
He's a two-time Super Bowl champion and a Hall of Famer. Marcus Mariota has done nothing yet.
He put respect on that Mariota name.
Only because they're in the same division. He did it with Deshaun Watson. He did it with every other quarterback in that division because Jalen's smart. Be smart. Don't get your hopes up, Charlie.
He said Matt Ryan wasn't good. That was probably my favorite.
Overrated.
He
called him overrated.
He couldn't remember. He said he couldn't remember Matt Ryan's name. He said, "Who's the quarterback for the Falcons?"
He said
Matt Ryan. Oh, Matt, yeah, that guy. That guy sucks.
He said Matt Ryan was overrated.
Yeah.
He said. Joe Flacco sucks. And he said Josh Allen was trash.
And then did you see Joe Flacco's response? He's like, Jalen Ramsey? Who's that?
I thought it was Eli.
No, that was Eli. That was Eli. Eli. That was Eli.
Yeah. Eli. Eli Manning said.
And they play each other one of the first couple weeks in the
Eli Manning,
the
two-time Super Bowl champion. So I like Jalen Ramsey's comments. It's refreshing to get honesty. But come on, man. Show some respect to Roethlisberger. Dude's a boss. Swain and Vin, be right back.
If you want to chop it up with the fellas, call the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline at 865-200-5503.
We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Big Orange football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's Salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man, select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's.
Gentlemen, get back in the game. Did you know that one out of every three men over 40 may have low testosterone? Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. Do you know your numbers? Well, I know my numbers. Low T Center made it quick and easy. I walked in, I took a simple blood test, and I knew my results in about 20 minutes. Their service is even covered by most health insurance. So give them a call, 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388. 1388, or go to lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Get ready for a better school year by shopping the Back to School Sale at Better Mattress happening now. Whether you're a parent or a student, you know a good night's sleep makes a difference in your day. Whether it's the patience to sit in school traffic or the concentration you need to pass your test, a better night's sleep is super important for the whole household. Right now, choose a twin, full, or queen bundle deal, all starting at just $379. The Back to School Bundle Deal from Better Mattress is everything you need in one stop for a better night's sleep. Get a mattress, box spring, frame, sheets, and a memory foam pillow, all delivered for free, starting at just $379. You choose the size twin, full, or queen, the price stays the same. We know one size doesn't fit all. Over a dozen different mattresses qualify for this offer. Have a better school year this year. Get the Better Mattress Back to School Bundle Deal while supplies last. Tell them Seth sent you and ask to try my mattress. Don't wait. Shop now. Chat live with a representative at bedrmattress.com. Good night. Just got better.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Pass downfield is complete. That's Swain. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Give him six. Touchdown. And down in New Orleans, all the cats wanna dance with sweet little 16. Sweet little 16. She just got to have.
Oh, David Shaw. I appreciate his honesty. I appreciate Jalen Ramsey's honesty. We should always appreciate and celebrate when someone is honest, because we don't see a lot of that today. A lot of deception, a lot of frauds and phonies around us, and so it's a breath of fresh air to just get some pure honesty. You may not like it. You may not like Jalen Ramsey. You may not like him talking about your quarterback. But if that's how he feels, and, you know, he didn't disrespect anyone, too much there. I mean, calling someone, you know, sorry, I mean, that shouldn't hurt your feelings too much if you're a quarterback. You should have tough skin. But if he doesn't think you're good, it shouldn't hurt your feelings. It's not like he called you out your name or he disrespected your family member or did something like that. He said, you know, he thought some quarterbacks sucked. He thought some dudes were trash. Hey, that's how he feels, and that's refreshing. David Shaw, he stinks a lot of Keller Chris, not enough to make him his starting quarterback. You know, let's keep that in mind. But hey, he has a lot of respect for Keller Chris, and maybe Tennessee was the best place for him. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? We don't know until the games are played. See how the season plays out and see if he gets the opportunity to play and how he plays. But it's refreshing to get some honesty from folks.
Is Jalen Ramsey being honest, though? Because to me,
I think he's being
honest. Just sounds like, not, I don't know that bitter is the right word. But
dude's a hater a little bit.
It seems like a diva that is just really just trying to spark drama. Because we all know Ben Roethlisberger is a good quarterback, and he's out here saying that he sucks. So
he didn't say Ben Roethlisberger sucks. He said that Ben is good at best or great. He said at
average,
best.
I think he's the average at best.
That's not. Yeah.
He said I think he's decent at best.
Yeah. He didn't say he sucked. So he did say other quarterbacks sucked.
Well, even
he did say that Josh Allen was trash,
which may be true.
So because he's had good games against Ben. And he's been successful against Ben recently. I'm okay with him saying that. But don't lose light of Ben's play his entire career. He's a Hall of Famer.
Is Eli a Hall of Famer? Super Bowl wise, he is.
I don't know, man.
But he's just outside of lately. He's just been so average.
I don't know, man. He's led the league in interceptions like 3 years. Those Super Bowl wins. He had good throws in the clutch, but the defense were really, really good and was the reason why they won the Super Bowl. Eli, that's
tough. Had a strong running game. Brandon Jacobs.
Eli's tough, man. But Ben, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. If his last name wasn't Manning.
No.
Is it even a conversation?
No.
So he's like another Trent Dilfer with two, a little bit better than Trent Dilfer.
No, he's not Trent Dilfer, but you led the league in interceptions 3 years. I mean,
it's definitely, and I think it's a credit because of the team he plays for. It's weird to see a guy like Philip Rivers not get as much recognition as Eli Manning. And granted, Eli plays in New York, the mega, the sports mega, and then Phillips is playing in San Diego, and their team's in the process of moving to Los Angeles, did move to Los Angeles. Philip Rivers had an underrated career. Just weird. He's consistently one of the top five, top seven quarterbacks in the league every year, and just nobody ever talks about him.
Yeah. I mean, he just hasn't had that much prominence in the playoffs and things like that. He hasn't been in big spots a lot of the time, and that's where he gets hurt. You know, Eli won two Super Bowls.
I only remember the Chargers really being in the playoffs once with Danny and Tomlinson. They beat the Jets.
They beat them Chargers. Ruined Peyton Manning's playoffs a couple times.
That was what. 10, 12 years ago? It's been a minute since that happened.
Yeah.
Unless I'm misremembering.
Ken says, Swain, was Ramsey honest or was he classless or both? Either way, I'm not celebrating a guy that runs his mouth like that. He's classless. I'm sorry. When I think of classless, I think of someone that during the play on the field, they're taking cheap shots. They're doing those things. They've been disrespectful to the refs. That
Montez is perfect.
That's what I consider classless. Come on. his comments about who he thinks are a good quarterbacks or not. I mean, it's not like he talked about anybody's mama or wife or anything. He just said, dude stinks. He said, this guy is average. I mean, come on, man. Dude, come on. Really?
This is what makes
sports. Classless because he didn't think a guy's good?
This is what makes sports fun to me. I love the trash talk. I hope, you know, if the Titans have another sweep of the Jaguars this year and the Titans make it further in the playoffs, I'm going to talk all the trash that I can to the Jags. I hate them.
You already are. You think the Titans had a better season last year than the Jaguars just because they beat them twice.
I'm not opening that can of worms. Going back, I like this from Jalen Ramsey. As much as I hate him and his team and, you know, I think it's fun. I don't mind it.
I'm a fan of trash talk. I'm not a fan of Jalen Ramsey's version of trash talk. Like, I like seeing DJ Swearinger say, our team doesn't have enough respect towards you to put a corner on you, so we're going to put a set. I like that kind of trash talk. I don't like the whole – to me, he's really diva-ish, and I don't think he's classless. I think that's taking it a little bit too far. But Jalen Ramsey isn't a guy that – if I had a son, that I don't want my son looking up to Jalen Ramsey.
No. I agree with that.
I want him looking up to him in terms of how he plays football, if he's a football player. But this isn't the first incident with Jalen Ramsey, so I don't necessarily like his actions off the field. I don't think he's classless, like I said, but I'm not necessarily a fan of it either.
But that's interesting because I guess I look at myself growing up, played basketball for a good chunk of my life, and a guy that I really looked up to, a dude that I loved, was Reggie Miller. And I was a huge trash talker when I played, and it was because I loved Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller is a huge trash talker, you know, does the choke sign to Spike Lee, the whole thing. And, yeah, is that good for your kids to look up to? I don't think so. It was always fun for me in games. That's why I like trash talk. It's because I'm a trash talker myself. But I agree. If I had a child who played football, I would be like, let's not do that. You could just talk with your game. But third party looking in, I think this is fun for football. So
we want to put everybody in the box, and we want everybody to be like Peyton Manning.
No.
I mean, I'm not.
For who you look up to as
a look up to your parents. Look up to your parents. You know, if you need, you know, Jalen Ramsey to teach your kids about what to say, what not to say, then you're not doing your job as a parent. Of course, you know.
It's fair.
You there's hundreds of players in the NFL that if you want to point to someone for your kid to look up to, point to them. And if you're a Jaguars fan, you may have a little bit more difficulty because your son or daughter may only look at the Jaguars team and you may see Jalen Ramsey. But this is where you come in as a parent and go, hey, he's fiery. He works hard. He backs it up. He's a great team player. He comes to his player's defense. But this small little thing here with him calling out other players, that's not something I like about him. How about you be a parent?
That's fair.
Do that. But this is professional football. This is not a little league. This is not golf. This is football. This is a violent game. This is an intense game. This is a game where you got to have a lot of confidence about yourself. And, yeah, Jalen Ramsey is a diva. He's a diva just like a lot of position players in the league. He's a diva. That's not that's not like a knock against you. A lot of guys are divas. But he works his tail off. He hasn't got any legal trouble at all. He's a leader on that football team, and he helps that team win. He changes that team has attitude. They have a chip on their shoulder. There's something different about the Jaguars. They used to be a pushover, but they start bringing in guys with an edge. They have an edge to them. That's why they were able to beat down the Steelers in the playoffs. It was the edge that we, you know, attached to the Steelers for decades. Decades and decades and decades. They had this edge. Well, the Jaguars had that edge. And Jarvis Landry signed by the Browns, and Jarvis Landry is giving the Browns that type of edge. So you got to have a player like a Jalen Ramsey. Okay, he said the player sucks. Maybe a little overboard. Because how do you suck if you're, you know, in the NFL? I mean, you're one of the best of the best. But, hey, to call him classless?
That's a little too far.
I don't know. Can't ask me if I would say those. No, I wouldn't say that. I just, because that's not my style. That's not my style to say another dude, you know, sucks like that. But I'm not as good as Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey can do it.
Classless is Vontaze Burfict.
Because he's a top three corner in the league. Jalen Ramsey can say it. No, I wouldn't do it because I'm not as good as Jalen Ramsey. But anyways, let's go to the phones, and then we'll get to for what coming up next. Charles, you're on. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, man. Real quick, Sway. You know, you guys mentioned Hall of Fame, so you know I got to call in. No, Eli's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's not even debatable. He's not a Hall of Famer. To me, Swain, and this is in basketball and football and even baseball to some extent, and I've said this on your show before, you have to be either one of the top two or three players at your position in your era, and or you have to make those playoff memorable plays. And, you know, Eli's done one of those. But like you said, he led the league in interceptions a couple of different times. He's just been average. I don't think longevity gets you to the Hall of Fame. And that's when we talked about Witten earlier this year. Jason Witten was never the best player at his position in his era. Mm. He just wasn't. I mean, there were three or four guys better than him.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. That part is true. I think Witten is a Hall of Famer. But he was never the top one or two tight ends in his era. That is true.
Yeah, and he never had any playoff moments. So, to me, people have different criteria. To me, longevity doesn't get you into the Hall of Fame. You have to have one of those two things, if not both. And also championship. Now, that's different for basketball. To me, you got to have – I think Robert Horry is a Hall of Famer. Because he's hit big shots, he's had playoff moments, and he has seven championships more than anybody else. So I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I think Witten, Witten was in position to break Tony Gonzalez's tight end record. No, or Tony Gonzalez or Kellen Winslow's tight end record. And I think longevity, that is impressive in the game of football to be, because you got to have longevity to play a long time to be even break those, to be able to break those records. So,
right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Jason Witten, talent wise, no, he's not the best tight end that played in his era. He's not even the second best tight end played in his era. But what he was able to accomplish, the productivity, to me, he is a Hall of Famer. Is he first ballot? I don't know. But he's definitely a Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. He will be wearing a gold jacket. Can't wait. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. He was, well, and real quick, Sway, you know, we talked about Tiger, I think it was on Monday or earlier this week. When Tiger played, Tiger didn't play every event that was on the calendar back 15 years ago. Charlie, you know this.
I do.
Tiger may only play in 30 events. When there's 50 events scheduled, 50 or 55 events scheduled. So Tiger won like 33% of his starts, Swain. So every one out of three events that he played in, Tiger won against the field.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Tiger was so dominant. Anyway, you guys have a great show. Hang up and listen.
Hey, thank you, Charles. Appreciate that. We got to run the break. We got for what coming up. We have hour three around the corner, so we got to run the break. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Stay with us. Hour two is brought to you by Alumni Hall. Get game day ready. AlumniHall.com. Shop 247. Be right back.
Today will be sunny and hot with a high of 90, a 30% chance of rain tonight with a low of 70, a 60% chance of showers tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 85 and a low of 70. Saturday, more rain with a high in the low 80s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by B-Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, B-Dry can help. B-Dry.com.
Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give B-Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, That's right. Nearly 60 years, B-Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. B-Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call B-Dry. Reach out to B-Dry today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call B-Dry.
Having surgery can be scary, and having to navigate around a massive medical center can be even more overwhelming. Fortunately, the Premier Office-based Surgery Center in Knoxville offers a convenient and affordable option for surgical care. Our skilled surgeons and friendly staff treat you just like family. Everything at our state-certified accredited center is designed with your comfort in mind, and Premier offers flat fee package pricing for basic gallbladder and hernia procedures. Visit PremierSurgeryPackages.com for more details. The Premier Office-Based Surgery Center, surgical expertise you can trust.
When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was Office Furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this, set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFONOX.com. That's OFONOX.com. It's almost football time in Tennessee, which means it's time to get geared up at Alumni Hall. Find the best selection of Nike, Nike Golf, Tommy Bahama, and all those retro logos you love. Don't forget about your game day crew. Plenty of selection for the ladies, the little balls, and to upgrade their tailgate. Shop now at one of their six convenient locations in Tennessee or 24/7 at AlumniHall.com.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay, okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
Butch Jones replacing Philip Fulmer on the Jumbotron.
For what?
People getting drunk and stumbling into the wrong house.
For what?
Butch saying a chart told him to kick an extra point instead of going for two.
For what?
People who break the law while breaking the law.
For what?
I'm going to be biased here. I'm going to admit. I'm going to do it. Now, Brian Jones, CBS sports analyst, and Charlie brought this to our attention. He made an outrageous pick to 14 to win a national championship. This outrageous pick was him picking Tennessee to win the national championship in 2016. He jumped on the hype train. So obviously this guy has no clue what he's talking about when it comes to picking national champions. I like Brian Jones as an analyst, but picking champions before the season, this is not Brian Jones' specialty. He's on for what today? Because of this clip that we're going to play, this is how he caught himself on for what.
Always ruining somebody's season, so why not start right here? Clemson and Washington knocking heads, and then, yeah, Florida. Florida and Michigan State. Florida has everyone coming back now. They have the quarterback whispering Dan Mullen. Come
Unbelievable. What? You picking Florida to be in the college football playoff?
Because they have everybody coming back.
Because he's the quarterback whisperer and everyone's coming back?
Hey, Vanderbilt has a lot of people coming back this year.
That's it? You got Florida making the college football playoff? So you have Florida beating Georgia? You have Florida running the table in the SEC East? You got Florida
and then winning the SEC championship
game. That's what I was getting ready to say. I guess they're going to win the SEC championship. Brian Jones. You better stop before CBS start drug testing.
Dog.
You better stop. You better stop that, Brian Jones.
It's a no for me, dog. Yeah, I don't – even just looking a little deeper, Florida's offensive line, while very talented, has struggled to this point in camp, and their quarterbacks have struggled to this point in camp. So forgive me for thinking that a team that may have offensive line problems and may have quarterback issues – will not make it to the playoffs or even the SEC championship game.
Let's talk about the off-the-field distractions.
Kind of important.
They over there worrying about Tay Bang. They got off-the-field issues. They got drama. I'm sorry. Florida may be good this year, but to say they're going to get to the college football playoff, come on. That is an outrageous pick, which is why Brian Jones found himself on for what? And we're going to give him a retroactive for what? For him picking Tennessee to win a national championship in 2016. What were you thinking? Come on, man.
If only he had known that Vanderbilt was going to be on the schedule that year.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee couldn't. It's a hurdle Tennessee couldn't get over. How do you not take that into account? Come on.
It's at Vanderbilt.
Exactly.
In Vanderbilt Stadium, one of the most intimidating stadiums in the entire conference and country.
You really have to take those factors into account, and it just looks like Brian Jones isn't doing his homework.
All right, hour two is a wrap. It's a wrap for hour two. Get game day ready with Alumni Hall, 6 convenient locations in Tennessee. Shop online at alumnihall.com. Get game day ready. That is Alumni Hall. 865-255-0503 is around the corner right here on the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America.